This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. A nationwide beach cleanup happened on the 22nd of September in conjunction with the International Coastal Cleanup Day, or ICC Day. This was part of Reef Check Malaysia's long battle against marine debris, and it was also their focus for the International Year of the Reef 2018 activities. Joining me now to give us a 411 on everything that went down on that day, and more importantly, what happens next, is Julian Hyde, the General Manager of Reef Check Malaysia. Welcome, Julian. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Well, welcome to our new swanky studios.
Thank you. Very nice.
So, I can't believe the cleanup has come and gone. I mean, we were on the show alone. We were talking about it since, I think it was March when you first came on and, you know, started talking about it. But I know this has been something that you've been planning for even longer than that.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the small thing we did in March 6 months ago, and the 6 month in between has just disappeared. And now here we are with thousands of people involved and locations all around the country. But yeah, it started even before that when we started talking to people last year about the need to start looking more seriously at marine debris and what we can do about it. The cleanup's just one part of it, but it's an important part.
And in previous years, you guys have actually conducted, I think, smaller cleanups, if I'm not mistaken.
Much smaller, just one or two locations. So we have a team on Tiernan Island, and they do something every year. Last year, we also did something on Mentanani, but it's just been those two locations that we've been involved in.
Okay, why? Oh, because you have bases there. Is that why those places work? Okay, all right. So as I mentioned earlier, this was held in conjunction with International Coastal Cleanup Day, also part of your focus for International Year of the Reef. Just remind us about what all of these things are, you know.
Okay, Eeyore, the donkey. International Year of the Reef is a 10-year thing, and it's one of these United Nations type initiatives to allow organizations to bring attention to a particular problem or particular issue over a year-long period. So instead of just a single event, it's a year's worth of events. This has been our main event for Eeyore, but we have done other things as well in between. We were at the dive shows, for example. So promoting reef conservation issues, marine conservation issues. ICC, International Coastal Cleanup Day, I think this is the 32nd year. Millions of people around the world. Countries around the world are participating. We're just one part of the whole effort.
And, you know, walk me through that whole coordination of, you know, getting, I mean, just focusing on Malaysia, of course. Walk me through that coordination, how everyone got together, how you got it all off the ground.
Well, the actual custodian of ICC in Malaysia is the Body Shop. So we started with them back in the end of last year. And we said we wanted to do something for International Year of the Reef. And we're also working on marine debris more widely. So we went to speak to them and they said, yeah, we'll work with you on that. And then it was just a case of slowly building up people and names and contacts. Some people contacted us. We went out to speak to some people. We promoted it through our eco divers, the people, the volunteers that help us with surveys. We promoted it on the website, on Facebook. And slowly but surely, people came on board. We got a big kick from working with Coca-Cola, everybody's supposed arch enemy, but actually taking this issue very seriously now.
Good.
And they've helped us with their own media campaign. So as we've got closer to the date, we're just getting more and more and more people sign up. And it's like, oh my God, where's this going? But yeah, eventually everybody get out there, mainly on the Saturday the 22nd. Like I said, 4,000 plus people. 80 over locations around Malaysia. It's just been an amazing response.
Wonderful. Mm. And, you know, how did that day go? I mean, I know there was an app involved where, you know, you kind of, that's how the monitoring was done, essentially.
So the idea behind ICC is that you actually count trash in different categories. So how many plastic beverage bottles, how many plastic bags, how many tin cans, how many diapers? Lovely.
And
cigarette butts.
Bugbear, yes.
Yes. So, and you count all of those things. It tells you what's there, tells you what people are doing. And that, of course, then leads to down the path of looking for solutions. Why are there so many plastic bottles? What can we do about that? So it's the old ICC categories. We used to do it on paper. And now that, as you say, there's an app which makes everything much easier for the app generation. I'm still preferring paper, but there you go. So I was in Perhentian together with the British High Commissioner, who joined in because she was in Terengganu for an official trip. We started at 8:30. We had a bunch of volunteers from an organization called EcoTier. They had a bunch of kids from the school involved. There were some people from the village involved. And that's pretty typical. Mentanani was the same, the school kids, some of the villagers, the local MP's team, the district officer was there and so on, the local council. So It was that sort of mix of people in different places. Some places, some sponsors were involved. So Coca-Cola was in several places. Body Shop was in Malacca. And so it continues around the country. Resorts in some places, dive operators in some places. But just this massive effort, hundreds of organizations involved. Names too numerous to mention, as they said, but we're going to try and get everybody's name on the Facebook page just to say thank you.
Okay, and this wasn't just Peninsula Malaysia, was it? It was
Sabah and Sarawak as well, literally nationwide. Every state in the nation, if I can put it so grandly, yes. So we covered every single state in Malaysia.
That's amazing. Mm. And have you completed the audit of the cleanup?
We've done most of it. We're still getting bits of data in, but I think we've probably got about 90, 95% of it now.
Anything you can share?
Yeah. Big surprise, plastic bottles were number one.
I would have never guessed.
Shocking, isn't it? You'd never have guessed. Cigarette butts, the old favourite, was number two.
I would have never have guessed that either.
And plastic bags. So
shocker,
absolutely shocking. And then there's the usual assortment of, like I said, diapers. I mean, how can you leave diapers on a beach? But okay, let's not go there. But it points us in the direction of habits. Mm-hmm. We need to change people's attitudes. Don't throw your cigarettes on the beach, please. We need better waste management facilities, be it storage at the local place or collection and recycling. Mm-hmm. And so the data now is useful for us to go to different organizations, different agencies, and say, hey, look, this is what's happening. This is what's on the beach. Essentially, how do we stop it? As I think I mentioned to you before, we've got this idea of a no more beach cleanups within 10 years.
Exactly,
okay,
yeah.
How do we get there? We have baseline data now. So next year, we'll be back again, and we can see if it's made any difference. And over time, hopefully, we can monitor it and see what changes.
Okay, so now that you've got all of this information, this immediate information. I mean, who are the agencies that you are thinking of? I will use the word attacking first.
Attack. Mm. Attack. We're not that sort of NGO. We're already working with them. So several weeks ago, back in August, we had our first meeting of a loose multi-stakeholder group to try and say marine debris / plastic / recycling, waste management, all of those issues which are causing the, not being fixed and resulting in the marine debris program. How can we fix it? So we've got JPSPN, the Solid Waste Management Department, Ministry of Housing. Mm-hmm. We've got industry groups, so the Malaysian Waste Manufacturers, Malaysian Waste Association. We've got the Malaysian Recyclers Association involved. We're talking to the brands like Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Nestle. We've got waste management companies, so Southern SWM, for example. Mm-hmm. So all of these people from different parts of the, let's say, the plastic life cycle, got around the table 2 months ago and started talking. We've had one meeting since, and we're now writing an action plan to try and spot where the gaps are. What is it exactly that's going wrong that we can fix?
Mm-hmm. And what do you think of, initiatives like, banning of plastic straws, for example, the banning of plastic bags in many parts of the country? And of course, the Plastic Association and the people, the manufacturers, are coming out and saying, it's not our problem. It's a people problem. It's a user problem.
Mm. I think all of these things contribute to the solving the bigger picture.
Sure.
Right? You can point fingers in many directions. Should the manufacturers be using biodegradable plastic?
Mm-hmm.
Should retailers stop giving out plastic bags? Mm-hmm. Should it just be left to the consumers to change their habits? Should the government be legislating? Should we have better waste recycling and collection? And the answer is yes to all of those.
Yep.
But you have to address all of them, I believe, I don't like to use the word holistic, but you have to do it in a holistic manner so that you plug all of those gaps. For example, let's say that plastic bottles are a problem, right, which we know they are. Who do you blame? Do you blame the person who drops it in a bin and then it gets knocked onto the floor and then drain, river, beach,
Yeah.
Or do you blame somebody else for not collecting it? You've got to address all of this, right? And I think we've identified a couple of particular problems now. One is we've got to stop it getting out into the environment in the first place, right? We shouldn't be letting it even get from the litter bin onto the floor. Because once it's on the floor, like I said, floor, drain, river, sea, beach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to try and improve the waste collection system so that as soon as you've finished with your plastic bottle, it's taken out of your hand and it goes into a system. mm-hmm. right, which mm-hmm. captures it and stops it ending up on the beach. Because once it's on the beach, it's degraded in value, right? It's got sand and it's got marine life in it. It's abraded. It's almost useless. There's not much you can do with it. It's trash plastic. But if we can take it out of your hand, it's clean, it's pristine, it can go into a recycling machine and it gets recycled into another PET bottle, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's not as simple as that, obviously, but it's that's the sort of system we need. So how do we make that happen? Well, we have to make available to you a place where you can leave it. Right? Convenient to you. Let's say there was a plastic collection station in every LRT station. Would you drop your bottle there when you went past? Every petrol station, every school. Where do people go every day? Where do they take people to every day? So how do we improve that network of collection? And we know it can work. We've got an example on Tierman where we have one project. And on Tierman, we've got little recycle bins literally every 50 yards. Right? Every resort has them. Every shop has them outside. They're along the village, the streets in the village. And so it's like, it's so visible. You're almost embarrassed not to put your plastic bottle into a bin or your aluminium can into a bin because it's so easy to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's pointing us in the direction of saying, well, okay, we can't have a bin every 50 yards in the city. Or maybe we can.
But
how can we make it more accessible? Yeah. If you make it accessible to people, then they use the system.
Right. And then also there's the question of, you know, the maintenance and the follow-up that, you know, it's properly collected or it's actually collected, not just, you know, bins that are just there for show. Because I've seen before, like in our previous office, we used to have these recycling bins and then nothing was collected and it just ended up being a dumping ground as well.
Yeah. So then you need an efficient market in recycled materials.
Yeah.
So this is where government comes in with legislation and enforcement. One option, I'm not advocating this, but one option would be to have something like a deposit scheme. So you monetize it. And once you monetize it, then there's a financial incentive for people to actually start to collect it. Mm-hmm. And this has worked in places like South Australia, where we've studied the system. Now, some individuals don't really care. 10 cents a bottle, that's nothing.
Yeah.
To me, 10 cents is really not much. But for some people, you collect 1,000 bottles, and instead of it being 5 kilograms of plastic worth 20 cents a kilogram, you've now got 1,000 bottles worth 10 cents. Yeah. And to some people, that's a lot of money. To some people, that becomes a living. And that's what's happened in South Australia. So perhaps we should be looking at financial mechanisms of that nature.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right? That is actually a fantastic idea. But I mean, as we stand now, as you've observed it in Malaysia, you know, how advanced are we in that area, you know, of like sort of monetizing these things or like, you know, proper collection centers that, you know, how it's nice to have a recycling bin, but we don't actually know as the user, we don't actually know what's happening, right?
Yeah. So several people have mentioned this to us, that they segregate their waste and they put it out with their other waste and the bin man comes along and it all goes into truck.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So why don't we say, okay, every Tuesday we'll collect your recyclables, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. then you get everybody in a neighborhood just puts out their recyclables and we know that that's going into the recyclables truck. So there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of infrastructure to put in place. There's a lot of thinking to do about just how to make these things happen. But what the conversation has done so far and what the data is showing us is that, first of all, we have a problem. And secondly, we're now starting to see where the gaps are and we can very specifically target those. Instead of just saying, we need to do something about recycling, we can say, we need to have better waste collection facilities. We need to have a campaign specifically targeted at that straw, for example. It's a good one.
Yeah.
You know, what do we do about plastic bottles? What do we do about plastic bags?
Mm-hmm. I mean, as I mentioned to you off air, I was just in England, and you know they have different days for different collections, right? So one day it's your garden waste, for example.
Yeah.
Another day it's your compost, your food,
yep.
and you know general waste, and everything is so segregated, and it's all very. I mean, it's very big brother, isn't it? I mean, you're told what to do, but it works. It works, right? I mean, everyone segregates their waste and there's different collection days. So we kind of, I mean, the back of your head, you imagine that everything is going in the right place.
Yes. And I remember where my father used to live in the UK, they had 3 bins and they had to take them out on different days.
You exactly.
know, even for garden waste. I mean, that's a bit excessive. But anyway, one thing we must remember is that Malaysia is a warm tropical climate and food rots very quickly. And you
that
don't want
true.
Your food waste sitting outside for too long. So how do we manage that?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we could just stick a load of bins outside somebody's house. That would not solve the problem because people don't have the habit of segregating
yeah.
and they don't trust the system to work. Why should I recycle? Why should I bother doing all this trouble? I'll just put it in one bag. Nobody cares and it all goes in the same hole anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to build trust in the system. And one of the other key things we've said is that this is not a 3-month problem. This is not a 6-month problem. This is a 10-year campaign. to change habits and to change attitudes. So don't expect to see anything change for 2 or 3 years, because we're going to spend that time making the structural changes that people never see, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That, you know, we start to get the more lorries that can carry segregated waste. We start to put the monetization system in place. One interesting thing that's happening is that the best way to recycle plastic bottles, if they're all the same plastic, i.e. clear plastic, mm-hmm. some brands sell in colored plastic. So if you mix the two together, you no longer have clear PET, so you can't simply recycle it into another clear bottle.
Precisely.
So the industry has to get together and say, okay, as of such and such a date, no more coloured PET, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. That's one big thing that the consumer won't notice, but which will make a huge, huge change to the recyclability, to the possibility of recycling it more efficiently. We know there are companies out there recycling now. We've talked to some of them. We're going to see another one next week down in Nellie. There are recyclers out there. Let's not talk about the gin jarrob situation where it's illegal, but there are legitimate recyclers out there. A lot of plastic is being collected from industrial sites, for example, where it's monoplastic, it's clean, it's stored well, and that is easily recycled, and they're making a lot of money out of that. So what we're talking about is the consumer and the domestic end, where it's fragmented, there's many, many collection points, we have a disenfranchised population that are like, why should we bother here? And all that argument. So changing that around, making people trust us, is going to take a good long time. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it.
No, not at all.
It just means we've got to think about the timing of it.
And also, you know, for, as you mentioned, consumers, even if they are inclined to recycle, you know, they don't know the different types of plastic.
Correct.
You know,
even my wife was asking me last night, I can't see a number on this. Is it recyclable?
Exactly.
And the answer is, if there's no number on it, no. So the other thing the industry has to do is start making recycling more practicable by ensuring that all of their packaging is recyclable, mm-hmm. right? And then we have to educate consumers about it. YB Yobi Yin, the minister at Mestec, had a town hall on Monday. She's talking about the three things that the government can do to reduce single-use plastics. So no more plastic water bottles in meetings anymore. No more cling wrap on food plates. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what the third one is, probably straws or something like that. But you see, government employs a lot of people, right? If we can get that constituency starting moving forward, mm-hmm. and then anybody that goes to a government meeting notices it as well, you start to build this population of people who kind of start to get it. And that's one way to start the education process.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, education process, start to the schools next after that, who knows, right?
Yes.
That would be a wonderful way to start
as well.
Yeah. So the other thing about, you know, all these sort of initiatives, like the beach cleanup, for example, you mm-hmm. know, do you think that also makes people think, well, I don't need to change my attitude because there's going to be some kind souls who will clean up after me?
You know? I love that argument. I don't have to do it because somebody else will clear up after me.
See, I'm going to throw the cigarette here. Someone's going to pick it up eventually. I mean, that's why we have garbage collectors, right? I've personally heard when I told somebody off, don't throw your cigarette, but there's somebody who will pick it up.
Right. But on the other hand, on Perhentian last Saturday, I was listening to somebody muttering away to themselves, these filthy smokers that throw their cigarette butts on the floor. Now, this person had never done a beach cleanup before and became aware that it was an issue. So that has changed the attitude of just one person who will now understand better what the issues are. So yes, they help even on an individual basis.
Okay. All right. This is something I wanted to talk about. You know, it's the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which mm-hmm. gets a lot of press. I mean, 1.8 trillion, what was it, pieces of plastic, some 880,000 tons it weighs, something like that.
Yeah.
And there was, back in September, an engineer set to sea to deploy a rubbish collection device to kind of get all that plastic litter in, you know, between, I think it's between California and Hawaii.
Yes, out there.
So it's an attempt to clean up, you know, what is known as the world's largest rubbish patch.
Yes.
What do you think of initiatives like that?
I think the easy part of the problem to solve is actually stopping beach trash from happening in the first place, because we're dealing with large population centres. So if we can stop people in KL throwing stuff on the streets, then the Klang River is less populated and it's not throwing all the trash out into the sea.
Sure.
So that's an easy one to fix. But fixing the problem of what's out there already is intractable. It's a huge, huge problem to solve, because this is not plastic bags and bottles floating around in the ocean. It's microplastics. It's tiny little pieces that are broken down through wave action or through sunlight. We haven't got a big enough sieve to sieve all of the world's oceans. And I was just being asked by a colleague yesterday about whether or not microplastics is real. And the answer is yes, microplastics are real. Yeah. There are studies showing microplastics in oysters and other filter feeders around the world. You know, we're talking about near cities and in remote locations. They are literally everywhere. They're in the food chain, right? And it's things like the Great Pacific Garbage Patch that are contributing to this because, you know, the marine life's eating it and we're eating the marine life.
Yeah.
This is an experimental technology. It's going to be very interesting to see how it works. There has been a lot of criticism about it because some people say it's drawing resources from other systems which are proven. Some people say it's not an effective technology because it's not been tested in open oceans where, you know, you have waves. And if you've got a long boom of some sort, how flexible is it against the waves? I say let's give it a try and see what happens because I don't think it can do any harm. And if nothing else, we will learn about other ways we can use to try and achieve the same goal. If this one doesn't work, it'll still give us useful data on what might work so we can keep trying other attempts at developing a new technology.
Because I think, as you mentioned, you know, there's no one solution for this. It's so many things need to be considered, so many different stakeholders. It's a massive problem.
It is, yes.
Okay, so moving forward, I mean, what is now the very next step that you guys are going to be taking?
The very next step is that at the end of October, there is an event called the Plasticity Forum.
Okay.
And that is run by a group of people who advise on circular economy, zero waste issues, and basically managing plastics and plastic wastes and the flow of plastic waste through an economy and how to reduce it.
Okay.
So that's happening, I think, on October 25th.
Okay.
And then the day after that, our working group, we're hoping to get them together again with the Plasticity guys and sort of add detail to this sketchy sort of action plan we have for Malaysia.
Okay.
And then hopefully then by November, we will be ready for a big multi-stakeholder meeting to present that and say, okay, this is the way forward. This is going to involve industry and government, the bottlers, the brands, NGOs, educational people, and say we need one education program for Malaysia. Just for example, at the moment, we're doing educational stuff. This NGO is doing educational stuff. Coca-Cola is doing, everybody's doing educational stuff, but they're doing it in their own little constituents, their own little area, and they're each focusing on a different message. How about we all get together and say, okay, here's the message, right? And then everybody gets a little bit of the country. Everybody gets a certain number of school. Everybody gets a territory, and everybody goes out with the same message and makes it a national campaign to say no more plastic bottles in the ocean. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get that sort of consistency, maybe that'll help the problem. But at the same time, we need to have in there the strategy will include what financial incentives, it'll include what recycling facilities we need so that we have one program for the whole country, for the whole industry to follow, which hopefully we'll have together by the end of this year.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm. I mean, if that does actually
happen.
Fingers crossed. Yep. But is the event on the 25th, is that open to the public as well? Or that's many stakeholders?
No, it's a conference type event, so you pay, basically.
No, okay, all right. I guess that's it for this episode then, Julian. Any last message you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, we're all part of the problem. You know, I segregate my waste. What happens to it? I don't know. I have faith that the system works, but in my darker moments, I'm not sure it does.
Same.
But we need to get a better system and we need to build trust in that system. And like I said, no more beach cleanups in 10 years.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Julian. And for anyone interested, the website is to find out more about you guys. The website is reefcheck.org.my.
Yep. And we have a Facebook page, which is Malaysians Against Marine Debris. That's what we've been using for this campaign. And it's been very useful. We've got a lot of people following it now.
Okay. So, and you know, you are going to keep having more beach cleanups, at least for the next 10 years, at least. So,
at least only for the next 10 years.
Only,
stopping after that.
Sorry.
Yes, it'll be an ongoing program.
Okay. And any other activities happening, you know, in the interim?
Oh, we just finished this one.
Sorry. It's like...
Give us a break.
Just cracking the whip here. Sorry.
We need to... We've done the public campaign now.
Yeah.
We want to promote the results. We want to get that in the media, get more people to see it, to know about it and understand it. And then, but at the same time, we need to fast track this action plan now. We need to get support behind that from industry and government because that's how we're going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get public demand to say, hey, this is ridiculous, we've got to stop this. But at the same time, we've got to get the institutions moving so that something actually happens.
Okay. And I mean, you know, not that you have to organize it. I mean, you can just go pick up trash on the beach on your own. You don't need, you know, Reef Check to organize an event for you. There's Trash Heroes, for example.
Trash Heroes, one group you can join. There are other groups you can join. Or you just go to the beach with a plastic bag. There you go again. Go to the beach with a bag and pick up the trash.
All right.
That's it.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Julian.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Julian Hyde. He's the general manager of ReefCheck Malaysia, and we were discussing what happened after the international coastal cleanup, the big, big beach cleanup that happened on the 22nd of September, and plans moving forward. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcasts on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.